going to be absolutely phenomenal.
We are what I call history makers. We have the opportunity to see history completed. Books will be written, everything. I believe that Pensacola could be the prototype to the whole world of what God can do. We have vision for that. So know this, as other intercessors around the city too, I'm sure. We have been praying, believing, receiving. Our goal, again, was to interact and to internet with intercessors all over the city. Pastor Carey was supposed to be here today as the pastoral, to do the pastoral stuff, so he's going to let me do a little bit of that, but his instructions, he wrote me out a sheet of what he wants to cover, and we're happy about that. But I want to speak from the heart of an intercessor. I know that in this city, probably in your church, is absolutely invaluable information. That God has been working in the intercessors across the city. I know personally some, and one especially that we've had for over 25 years in Pensacola. Her burden is Pensacola. God has spoken to her that Pensacola, for who knows what reason, is highly favored of God. Now, that does not mean that he isn't going to come to all the other cities and all the other, you know, countries and so on. But for some reason, for this particular time, we as a city have an assignment. And we must begin to see ourselves as one church meeting in different places. Remember when Jesus talked about, or when John the Revelator talked about seeing Jesus, the exalted Christ of Revelation, the eternal one, he was standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. He was standing in the midst of the candlesticks, wasn't he? And he spoke of the candlestick as the angel over this city or that city or whatever. Now, we know that he saw one candlestick in each city, but each of those cities, surely they had many different places where they were meeting. I don't believe that they all came together in one particular spot. They were meeting in all these different places. See, we meet at the cross. We meet through the blood of Jesus Christ. And what the church has done, and we are as responsible as anyone else, is we have, I'm not Brownsville, I'm speaking as being a Christian and being in the ministry for a long time, but as Christians for many, many years, we have always like devolved over significant things. This, what I call secondary doctrine. Things that aren't going to amount to a hill of beans. When we get before the Lord, we're not even going to care. It's the things that, and so what the enemy has done, and by the word enemy, I don't like to, you know, brandish the devil's name or anything like that, but he has really driven an edge or wedge into the church to cause us to see the negative rather than the positive. So I believe that he has found not only a city, but pastors and Christians all over the city that will be willing. I believe he's been working that in your heart. My hope today, as a part of the organizational section of this, is that God has really given a heart to some pastor or a particular church where you feel like this is your assignment. Truthfully, I do not have, you know, my plate's full, the other pastors here, but we want to be a part of this. And we just thought, you know, somebody needed to kind of host it to start with, but we're expecting, you know, everyone to be involved, and hopefully somebody will see their gifting and so on and so forth. So I want you to think about that for a moment. I wanted to share just a couple of things. You didn't come here to hear me preach, and I probably don't have enough strength after this week left to do it anyway. But I wanted to point out a couple of things. I wrote down here that, and Steve, our evangelist Steve Hill always says that the life, to grasp the opportunity in the lifetime of an opportunity. And I believe that this is our timing in Pensacola. Everything has to do with timing in God's Word. Now, I'm sure that out there, God has given you in your individual churches many promises, many things that he wants to accomplish in your church and in the city. And so we want to see everybody coming together, and let's share this stuff. We don't want to have to rediscover the wheel. Probably for some of you today, this was the first time you had heard of the prophetic word back in 89 or some of the other things, what Pastor Kilpatrick, God has spoken to him. We want to hear what God has spoken to all the churches, because we are one church. And so then we can pray to that end. Right. As I said before, the reason we have patiently waited is because we know, as intercessors, that we must be under your covering, pastors. We've got to have your approval, we've got to have your endorsement, and we've got to have your safety. And I don't say this lightly, but as we are moving into other areas, you know, Pastor Kilpatrick always says, you're not worth an old worn-out demon. Well, that's been true of a lot of us, but I believe that that's the level we've been working at. And as God is moving us into higher level, as the window, what is it, Pastor says, as the heavens are being jacked open more and more all the time, then our level of warfare is going to increase. Do you see what I'm saying? We not only need each other, but we're going to need each other even greater in the future. We'll be so glad of that brother we didn't even know about before, because we're going to be praying for each other. So what we're really looking for is the foundation. Without the foundation, we know. I'm pregnant, as Dr. Cho says, I'm pregnant with vision for this city. I'm pregnant with vision for our nation. I believe that our nation is in such a terrible condition that he has given us a window of opportunity for repentance by sending the moving of his Holy Spirit into all over the world, but especially into our nation. You know, I just see that the cup of iniquity is almost ready to pour over, but God is giving us this opportunity to seek him and to pray. Okay, God is highly favored, Pensacola. I want us to turn Ephesians 4. I know that this is a very, very familiar area of Scripture. Hallelujah. If I can find it. It's got to be here. Somewhere. The focused prayer is going to be what gets us through, folks. See, what we're doing is we are all battling so inefficiently, I believe. You know, it's probably redundant. Probably one church is doing this and another church is doing the same thing and another church. How about if one church was targeting this and one church was targeting that and all together we were targeting it? You see what I'm saying? It's the strategy that we're hoping that God will pour out. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul speaking, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, one Holy Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I think that's really clear. He speaks to us as one body. And we need to begin to see ourselves as one body. You know, there's something we can all agree on, and that is how much we love Jesus. I've noticed that when you are in a worship and when you are really worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and you're just having such wonderful intimate time with the Lord, and congregationally speaking, you don't care if the person on one side of you is from the Church of Christ and the other on the other side of you is from the Baptist. You're just thinking about Jesus. You're just loving on Jesus. And so that's what we really want to see, is the focus on Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that gives the open heaven. When he was speaking concerning Nathanael, to Nathanael in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, Nathanael, he'd given him a word of knowledge, and he said to Nathanael, you think that's something? I am going to open the heavens. Henceforth, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending upon me. I want to tell you, I'd like to have this whole city full of angels. War and angels, I mean, Michael, come on. You know what I'm saying? We need all the help we can get. So when we lift Jesus up, he's the ladder that causes the heavens to be open so that the angels can ascend and descend and help us, so he can send his glory down. He can send his repentance down. He can send, you see where I'm going with that? Okay, that's what gives us the open heaven. In Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, going on down a little bit farther, it talks about, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It will actually, the body of Christ will actually edify and build itself up in the love that we show one for another. And I think we need to keep that in the back of our mind with what we're going to be discussing briefly here. And I need to be told when it's about a quarter till, because we want to take 15 minutes at the end to have a question and answer. So if we don't answer your question in that time, reserve it, or in this time, reserve it for that time. John 17 and 21, the Lord prayed, we don't have to turn that, but he prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one. And I don't mean to be redundant, but I just think that, I mean, I'm so about you all being here, and I'm just going to come right down, you know, to the nitty-gritty. When we came here, my husband and I from California, and when I walked in the sanctuary of the church here, and it's in the middle of inner city, we are in a predominantly African-American community, and all I saw was middle-class white people, for the most part. And of course, you know, the sinners coming. I said, there's something wrong with this picture. There is something wrong with this picture. And so immediately we began, as many of you others have, begin to pray. In the area of prayer is where the walls will come down, and the area of prayer is where we will see the victory. You see, it has to be done in prayer first. It's like a birthing or something that has to be brought forth. It has to be done in prayer first, and then we will see the visibility of it. And so there's all kinds of walls in the city. We sent out 450 invitations for this. So there's maybe some walls. Now, I was told by some of the people didn't get their letter, and so we're going to be checking, you know, on that to see what could have happened. But we see that there are racial walls in this city. There are gender walls. There are walls between the older people and the children. There are many things that are going to have to come down in order for the church to be one. So we've got a lot of work to do. Do you realize if those walls came down between the older and the younger generation, our schools, they're being touched now, but we ain't seen nothing yet, as you'd say in the South, right? God wants to capture all of our schools. He wants the colleges in this town, the secular colleges. I'm looking for the Charles Finney stuff, you know, where they just fall down in the street and begin to cry out to God without anybody preaching to them. I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I know is burning in your heart, too. He's probably given you all kinds of vision concerning this. But there's one thing that will prevent. Well, there's about three things, but there's, as Ed Savoso says in his book, that none should perish, and I recommend it very highly. The three deadliest things to having revival in your city. The first one is disunity. The second is the spirit of apathy. And the third is ignorance of the schemes of the devil. And I'm hoping that as we come together and we share, you know, with one another, we'll be able to overcome these obstacles and see a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our city. There are strongholds over every city. There are strongholds over every nation. There are strongholds over every state, and et cetera, et cetera. So by this, we're not going off on some kooky chase a devil thing, but these are just factual. And I think if we would look at our city, we would see some of the strongholds that perhaps, by strongholds, it's like a place where there can be by the actions of people, where demonic powers can begin to move and influence the people. Okay? Now, there's a reverse to that. By the actions of the people, loving one another, submitting to one another, humbling themselves before one another, then we can see that curse or whatever that has been established there reversed. Because light is always brighter than darkness. Love is always stronger than hate. And so we tend to run around scared to death of the devil. No, we needn't do that. We need to begin to love each other. And we'll see the enemies come down. Amen? Praise God. All right, I want to share a scripture in 2 Chronicles, 7 and 14. I'm sure most of you can quote it backwards and forwards, but I wanted to briefly touch on this subject, point out a couple of things. I know you didn't come here for a sermon. You're getting one anyway. Okay. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm in first. It won't read good there. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, and they will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, I want to remind you of when this prophetic word was given to Solomon. It was right immediately upon the tail, or the end, of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So much when they dedicated the temple that the glory of God came down, the ministers couldn't even stand by reason of the glory. But the Lord knew that the people would begin to wander away. And so I loved what Michael said about the prophetic. People always ask me, why is the prophetic so important? And I say it's because God is never where we are. He's always way out ahead of us. And so, you know, the prophetic comes and then we run to try to do that. And then he'll bring, come on, you guys, come on. And so hearing a prophetic word, and then what that does is it begins to make faith in us, it begins to stimulate prayer in us, it begins to build in us, and then we begin to be filled with the seed of that, you know, and the next thing you know, it happens. Hallelujah. That's all about prayer. Yes. Whatsoever you ask, according to the will of God, he will hear, he will answer. Amen. But we need to know what the will of God is. How are we going to know what the will of God is? Well, when he tells us, then we know how to pray, don't we? Amen. We can pray around the world, but we need that specific, sure word of the Lord to know that we're going in the right direction. That's why I believe we need those prophets out there. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. The first thing he said, he did not say first of all to pray. He did not say first of all even to seek his face. He said, first of all, to humble yourself. Now, I am seeing, because and we've been graced with being able to be networked with other ministries all around, but believe me, not because of anything I've done. Like I always tell people, before Brownsville, I couldn't draw flies. But because there is the eyes of the world is on Pensacola in every way, then it has given us an opportunity to be able to network with other intercessory prayer people. And I'm hearing wonderful reports. In fact, it was said back to me that yesterday in Jackson, Mississippi, the pastors, both the African-American and the Anglo pastors, they met on the steps of their state building, Capitol building, and washed one another's feet. These are the kind of things we're talking about that we believe. See, you can go around stomping on the devil and marching and doing this and doing that, and there's a place for all that. You know, I'm not putting it down. But this is where the power is. See, we are portals as people. Our actions speak louder than our words. But when we actually begin to wash one another's feet, when we actually begin to repent, have citywide repentance out there where the world can see it, Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples and that you have love one for another. The message we've been giving to the world has not been the message that Jesus was talking about. When the world looks at us as a church, they say, man, I got enough troubles. I don't need to go over there to that church, you know, or that church. I don't want to be a Christian. Look, they're fighting and fussing and stuff all the time. But boy, and the devil, because we have been totally predictable as the church. When something happens, we always react the same way. He's been kind of able to sit down, cross his legs, and say, you know, just let those Christians kill each other because I don't even need to bother doing this. But whenever we begin to act like Christians, whenever we begin to act like the fulfillment of what Jesus spoke, I believe it doesn't send him to the bookstore, we say, you know, scratching his head, trying to get a new volume, trying to figure out what's this. Christians don't act like this. They hate each other. When they start washing one another's feet, when they start doing citywide repentance, when they begin to repent for their nation, and so this is a totally disarming to the power of this high-level warfare. Okay, so I don't know. What we're going to do is we're going to, as I conclude here in just a moment, we're going to give. We want to have a meeting in about 2 weeks. This is just a springboard meeting. This wasn't meant to actually get anything definitive. I would like to leave it to the pastors and to get together and decide, you know, get a steering committee together. We would like to see, hopefully, and this is not, you know, this is not written, you can do anything, you know, whatever you guys say, okay, but that the city would be divided into, you know, like the east, the west, the north, the south, and that there would be prayer meetings going on in rotating churches weekly, you know, collectively with the different churches and the different people, weekly in different areas, and then perhaps monthly coming together, you know, all the different districts. I don't know, you know, I mean, I'm not good at planning this stuff out, so these are just some suggestions that we feel like, since he says for us to, and we always declare that, and then we call souls the east, the west, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had people praying in all those areas? Yeah, in different churches, okay, praise God, together, from different churches. Anyway, let me go back here to, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I'm reminded of the record in the scriptures, the Old Testament, of Jonah. Remember Jonah, he was the reluctant prophet. You ever been there? Sure, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, but you get spit out of the whale's mouth every once in a while, right up there on dry land. And you've got to go and you've got to deliver a word. Okay, so he did do that. But it was even reluctant. But when he delivered the word, even though he didn't even have the faith to think that maybe, you know, he had the faith for destruction. And destruction it would have been. Those people had open ears to hear. And I believe that through our prayers, that we can open the ears of the people in our city so that they can hear. Okay? And when their ears were opened, all of them, all the whole nation. Now, this is a exceedingly sinful nation. Remember Sennacherib, who was a very evil king. He went down there and he bowed down to it. So it was full of demonic stuff. I mean, it had homosexuals. It had everything. It had what we've got here and then some. Okay? In 3 days, when the people humbled themselves and prayed, they even made their animals put sackcloth on them. And they went without water. They fasted and they prayed and they humbled themselves. One of the words for fasting is to humble yourself. And that's why we it would be wonderful if we could do citywide fasts. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody fasts the same day. You know, we'll work it out how to do it. Some people can and fast on this. And we don't want legalism. But we're talking about a genuine example to God that we're serious about this. I mean, we are serious, God. We are serious. We want to see you move in our city. We want to see you move in every neighborhood, in every up and down every street. We want to see you move, Lord. Oh, God, do you hear us? Do you see us? Are we doing good? Oh, are you smiling upon this, Lord? Are you smiling upon what we're doing here? Oh, God, we just want your approval. We want your smile. Whew, Jesus, oh, God. Whew, yes, Lord. The whole city was saved. Didn't deserve it. But we don't deserve salvation. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. Humbling ourselves, pray, and then seek his face. And I teach this in my sessions about intimacy with God is the first place. We can begin in our homes. Begin to make our... Let's not wait to get to church to pray. Let's pray in our homes. Our homes can be glory, places of great glory. We need to seek his face instead of his hand. You see, the church has always got the gimmies, especially in this last couple of decades. You know, we've been king's kids who didn't wear Kmart shoes, okay? You know, we had to have the best and the greatest of everything. Well, you know what? Some of us king's kids may go barefoot, and that's going to be okay because we're going to have the grace to do that too. We don't know what's facing us as a nation, folks. And I'm not a prophet of doom, but I've heard some powerful things. You know, we may not even have, you know, food, let alone shoes. But anyway, we've got to realize who we are and where we are. If in truth we are going to be facing some disastrous things in the future, wouldn't it be nice to know that we're networked together as Christians and it won't make any difference what church we are, that the people in our neighborhood are saved and we'll know, you know, hallelujah, and we'll know where to go and what to do. Wow. Seeking his face is what we're going to have to do, and that's where we're going to find from God what God wants us to know. You see, in seeking his hand, you may get the benefits, you may get the materials, you may get the things that are going to, the touchy-feely things that are going to make you real happy. But we want to know what's on God's heart. I believe he's given us so much ammunition that upon what's on his heart for this city. We got dynamite to blast this city already. But I believe, you know, many of us many of you will be asked by other churches and other brethren, maybe other towns and cities, how did this happen? How did God move in Pensacola? How did it happen? And you're going to be able to give a ready answer. Bless God, it's because we loved each other, because we let our walls down, because we began to fast and to pray and to seek God's face. And he said here, glory to God, I love this. Turn from your wicked ways. He will release, if we will do that, if we will do that, church, he will release such a spirit of repentance over this city. We'll begin to, we read about and our mouth drools over. The Charles Finneys and the things that happened with Whitfield. It's a reality, folks. It's not a fairy tale. It's a reality. It's within our grasp. It's within our reach. But we're all going to have to work together. Hallelujah. I feel it. I feel it. Then he says, then I will hear from heaven after you've done all this. And I'll heal your land. Wow. I want to see America heal. I want to see America aflame with the glory of God and revival. I want to see my family saved. Making it real personal. Yes, I've got kids that aren't saved. I want to see them, California. I got a big investment here. I believe that God can start something in Pensacola that will literally not only set our nation but the world on fire. What we're seeing here, this is a drop that God wants to do. That what is 100 and some thousand? Big deal. There's billions of people out there. Whoo! Glory to God. Oh, yes. Can I get a witness? Glory. I'm a little bit uptight. You know, it's hard when you're men of degrees, you know, and they got all this knowledge and they got all this, and here I am, you know, spitting dirt, and what am I doing about it, you know? Except we're intercessors. Yes, Lord. And so we carry that and we're glad. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. This is good. This is good. Powers of darkness in the city of Pensacola. Get a load of this. Hallelujah. There's pastors that are standing right here in unity. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, and you see a room full of intercessors that are going to support, going to pray for, going to lift up, and going to cover these pastors. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, let the heavens be opened even more over this city today, oh, God. Yes, yes, let the heavens be opened. Oh, God, see our statement of love, not only for you but for one another, oh, God. Oh, let every wall come down. Let every wall come down. Let every wall come down. Yes, every wall come down. Every wall come down. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, let a new foundation be laid in Pensacola today, oh, God. A foundation of love, a foundation of support, a foundation of unity, oh, God. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you said you were going to raise up an army that was going to march together shoulder to shoulder. They would not thrust one another through. No, but they will walk in total unity. Oh, God, you see the army here in Pensacola. We are making that declaration, oh, God. We are here as history makers. We are here, oh, God. Oh, our steps are ordered of you, oh, God. This was no accident. No, we are here today under the mandate of Almighty God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord. We set aside our own agendas, Lord. We humble ourselves before you and before one another. And we say, God, we want to see you move more than we want life, more than we want food, oh, God. Oh, Jesus, we will do anything, Lord, to see you move in our nation, turning back the tide of darkness, oh, God. Oh, God, we are so hungry. We are so thirsty, Lord. Oh, God, I ask that there would be a release in us today for the lost like we've never known before. A burden for the unsaved, oh, God, that will stir our heart. Begin to wake us up in the night, oh, God. Give us dreams and visions, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, we ask that you'd send the spirit of repentance all over this city. Oh, God, begin to release it. Release. Oh, release. Lord, I ask for an increase of intercessors. Lord, I ask that they will hear the call, oh, God, and come from the east and the west and the north and the south. Oh, God, that there will be prayer going every day someplace in this city, every night someplace in this city. Oh, God, we're just going to keep knocking until you open. Even if it's for importunity's sake, oh, God, we're just going to keep on knocking. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we want to see your glory cover this city. Lord, we want to see every bar shut down. Yes, we want to see the spirit of poverty broken over this city. Oh, God, we want to see, oh, those places of perversion, Lord God, to be places of glory where your gospel is preached. Yes, and we don't believe this is our vision. We believe this is your vision, Lord. This is your vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God, we're so desperate. We need you. We need you real bad. Oh, we need you really bad, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, now I ask the release of the Psalm 133 anointing, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. Lord, you said there's anointing. It's like the precious anointing oil that flowed over Aaron's head, down through his beard, to the hem of the garment, oh God. Oh, yes, you said it was like the sweet dew of Hermon, oh God, that flows down. Oh, yes, for the harvest. Lord, you said in that there is a commanded blessing. Not just a blessing, but a commanded blessing. We of Pensacola want that commanded blessing, oh God. Life evermore for the sake of the lost, for the sake of the harvest. Oh God, let it come. Let it come. Let it come.
Thank you, Lord. Thank